Well, I am, I'm super excited to be teaching this class. You know, Gary asked me if I would, teach with Joel Washington. I'm like, well, Gary, I don't know if you want to pick me. But, so he, you know, he said, you know, you can do it. You can talk about things that you've gone through. And so I'm grateful for Gary, grateful for the elders and Richard for allowing me to teach this class. I'm thinking of this class, and it's been so convicting looking at this thing. And I think the more I looked at it, I was like, whoa, I'm not like that at all. You know, I need to, and so I'm really, you know, kind of like I'm preaching to myself, but also at the same time helping us to learn what we're learning tonight. Okay, so, but before we start, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for being the God that you are. Thank you so much for being the great I am. The Father, you know us completely. Father, you know us more than we know ourselves. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight to worship you. And not just merely come to church, but God, to worship you. And God, thank you that we get to open our Bible together, that we get to read the scriptures and to really see who you really are, Father. Thank you again. Please, God, be with us. Help us to learn the things that we need to learn tonight. God, help us to see the things that we've never seen before. Help us to go home, change men and women. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I think before we start, I want us to, you know, Garrett's like, you know, the classes, do whatever you guys want. So I'm like, whoa, you know. You don't want that to happen. You know, you don't want me to do that because that opens up a whole can of worms. And so... But I'm going to do something different tonight, all right? But I wanted to get our mindset right. I think when I wanted to change the way we view the Bible, the way we view God, literally. And I think we need, you know, when the Bible is open, we need to get excited about it. Amen. When the Bible is open, we need to get in it and be excited about the Word of God. You know, in my native language, it's the Hmong. The Hmong Bible... It's not even a title. It's a sentence. It's called Van Chu Zu Lu Gui Jia Dun Ning Zu Sha. Translated, this is the word of God that will save your soul. That's the name of the Bible, you know. It can save your soul, and it might save your soul. It says it will save your soul. This is the word of God that will save your soul. And I think for us, we need to treat it like that. When the Bible is open, it is the word of God that will save your soul. And I think for us, we need to, you know, change our mindset tonight. Like, this is the word of God. This is the one thing that will save my soul. And so, you know, I remember going back in, you know, Thailand and Cambodia. This is what happened. When the evangelist opens up his Bible, he says, you know, turn to Mark chapter 5. Every hand in the room went up. And I'm thinking, what is going on? Why is everybody raising their hand? It's because they want to read it. They're like, I want to read that scripture. Pick me. You know, a lot of them didn't know where it was. They're like flipping through. So we're waiting like, you know, come on, get to the, you know, scripture. They're waiting. Pick me. That's how intense they are. They want to read the scripture because they know that that's the thing that will save their soul. So I think tonight I want to do that for us. You know, I'm not going to read the scripture, but you read the scripture. And they read it with all their heart, all their fire. Like, this is the word of God. You know, let me tell you a story. There was a little girl named, not a little girl, but a single sister. Very short. She's about that short. Little single sister. And she was babysitting for the couple that was leading the church in Bangkok. And so one day, one of the brothers in the church who was pretty wealthy bought them a ticket. And it wasn't just any ticket. This is a ticket to see Michael Jackson. Okay? And Michael was coming into town, to Bangkok, to do this humongous concert. And she's never seen Michael. And she loved Michael. She's got all his, you know, music. And so she's so excited to go see Michael. She went to the fellowship and talked about, you know, I'm going to see Michael Jackson, you know, and so excited. Well, on the day that Michael Jackson was supposed to start the concert, they walked. And it was pouring down rain. In Bangkok, the drainage system is terrible. So when it rains, it pours and it starts flooding. So you're up to your knees walking through the the rain, it's black, and it's all that nasty stuff flowing around. And so they're walking to the concert. They get to the concert, and it's canceled. Canceled. Too much rain. Go back home. Tomorrow, come back. So tomorrow, they walk all the way home. It's like 4 miles walk. They walk to the stadium, walk 4 miles back at home. The next day, they got up, walk another 4 miles back to the stadium. They got to the stadium. They let him in. So they're thinking, this ticket is expensive. We must get like box seat or something, you know. Get up in the high, get some food, be great. No. This ticket was a ticket to the mosh pit. It was in the mosh pit where a gazillion people was at, you know. They're like squeezing and, you know, you can't even breathe. They're like, you know, you can barely breathe and it starts sprinkling. So they can't even breathe. They're like, ah. This is nuts. And so they're holding on each other so they don't lose each other. You know, they're people pulling. And so G, being short, she can't see. So Michael Jackson comes on stage and everybody goes nuts, you know. And she's like, you know, I can't see anything. And so what she found this 2-liter cup. She put it on there. So John and Barry grabbed her hand and they pull her up on that cup, you know. And she gets one glimpse of Michael Jackson, goes back down, crushes the cup, and that was it. That was her one time of seeing Michael Jackson on stage. And she was so fired. She was like, I saw the king, you know. I saw the king of pop. And so she was so excited. And what happened was the mosh pit got crazy and they finally lost track of her. And so, they couldn't find her. She was lost in the gazillion people. They couldn't find her. So they figured, well, we'll just go home. And she knows where her home is. She'll come get back there eventually. But what happened was she passed out. She ran into this thing. She finally passed out. People started rolling her to the side. And so the cops took her home in the morning. So, you know, but she was so excited. She's like, you know, I walked, you know, 3 times to the stadium and a ride back with the cops to see Michael Jackson. You know, but she went around telling everybody about Michael Jackson and she saw Michael Jackson with that one glimpse on that cups. You know, and so, but that was, she was so, I think that's for us. It has to be like that. You know, a change of our heart to get one glimpse of God. Am I like that? Am I just one glimpse of God? Can I see God in the Bible one glimpse in the morning? Am I happy about that? Or is it, oh, did I have to do this? And, you know, checklist and, you know, the scripture. We need to let the scripture be something that is so powerful that it will save your soul. You know, I don't know if you guys know Ronnie and Sheila Harris. They're out in Athens right now. And Ronnie is one of the guys that he's just super excited about everything. He's fired up. I mean, he's excited, you know, about the clouds and the grass. You know, he's just excited, you know. And so, you know, when Ronnie's not excited, you think, oh, something's wrong. You know, something's wrong, Ronnie. What's wrong with you? And so Ronnie and Sheila are that type of people. Well, you know, one time I was stuck in the mud. I was reading my Bible and not very consistent. You know, I thought, man, Ronnie, I'm not getting anything. You know, I'm just trying. I'm spinning my wheels and I'm not getting anything. So Ronnie, you know, he looked down. He sat me down. I was like, you know, tell me more. So I kept going on, going on, going on. He finally stopped me. Okay, are you done? I'm like, I'm done. He says, John, the thing is, your will run out. You need to get a passion. I was like, oh, explain. He says, you know, your will to read your Bible. I will read my Bible. I will pray. I will share my faith. I will go to church. I will do this. I will do that. Eventually, it will run out. You need to get a passion. You know, a passion is different than a will. A will is like, you know, after a while, you're just doing it, going through the motion. But I think your passion will carry you, help you to be where you've never been before. And so I think for us tonight is we need to get a passion for the Word of God. The Word of God will save your soul. And I think for us tonight is to not look about, you know, this is not a class where I'm talking and you guys just listen. This is a class where you guys are involved. This is the Word of God. This is what we're all about. And get a passion and not just come to church. You know, and then I think about that. You know, we've been reading a book called Parenting in the Pew, and it's like they talk about coming to church and coming to worship. You know, totally different. Coming to church is we just, you know, put in our time and coming to church. But coming to worship is completely different. Coming to church is just something we do. But coming to worship is something who we are. And I think for us tonight, let's come to worship God, all right? So let's all have a change of heart. Let's be like G, who's excited to see the Word of God, who wants to read the Word of God. And tonight we're going to look at something that it's convicting to me to study it out, but I think for us, we're going to look at some practical stuff. You know, we're going to look at what it is, and then we're going to look at practical stuff. So let's start in Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22. All right, honey, you start.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
All right. Tonight we're going to talk about self-control. This class is a self-control class and different aspects of self-control. Tonight we're going to talk about anger. Now, who in here has ever had an angry moment? How about just today? Anger is something that we experience a lot. You know, I think one aspect of self-control, there's so many aspects of self-control, but anger is one of those things in self-control that we need to talk about, that we need to learn about tonight. You know, there's so many things we can talk about. I can't do justice in 30 minutes talking about anger, but we're just going to hit a few points here and there. And I implore you to go back home and really study out anger. Really make it a conviction about anger. And so we're just going to hit a few points tonight. You know, I tell my wife all the time, it's like men have one emotion. Angry and angrier. I was like, wow, you know, that's men. Men's angry and angrier, you know. All the other emotions are, you know, pretty at the bottom. But those two are at the very top. And so, you know, I think for us, a dictionary thing, it says anger is a strong passion or emotion of displeasure and usually antagonism excited by a sense of injury or insult. Anger is fed by feelings of disappointment, hurt, rejection, fear, and embarrassment. You know, I think the human capacity for anger is rooted in the divine nature of God. You know, God is, the Bible never says God is anger. It says God is love. You know, but God has anger. You know, in the Old Testament, it has 375 times referring to God's anger. You know, but I think our capacity for anger is in the divine nature of God. And what I mean by that is like, God, the two things that God, anger is justified is one, he is holy, and two, he is full of love. So when God gets angry, it's because he is holy and because he is filled with love. You know, I think, you know, God is holy because he wants his people to be separate. Being holy is to be set apart. You know, God was angry at the Israelites in the Old Testament when they started following idols. When they start chasing idols, when they start intermarrying, and they went away from him. God was angry because of that. God was angry at the Israelites because they lacked faith going to Canaan. You know, God said, you can go in, take over this land. But they're like, well, they're big people. We can't go in there. He was angry. He said, you will never enter Canaan. And nobody did. And so I think for us, God's anger is justified because he's holy. And then he's love. You know, he loves us when we do things that are against his will, against his wish. He's angry. It's kind of like your kids. You tell them not to do things, and they deliberately do it. You get angry at them. You know, like, why did you? Because I love you. I don't want you to get hurt. I tell you not to do this so that you won't get hurt, but you do it anyway. And I think the same thing with us. When we deliberately sin, God gets angry. And so his love and his holiness is the aspect that human anger comes from. I think anger in itself is not evil. It's not evil, as they say. Anger is not sinful. It is not Satan at work in us. You know, because we are created in God's image, we have that capacity for anger. You know, I think we are concerned for justice and righteousness. You know, when something goes wrong, you hear on the news when kids are being kidnapped or people are being shot, you get angry. There's injustice. Something's going on that should not be going on. We get angry. We get angry when somebody crosses in front of us at work, you know, like, we get angry, you know, because we feel like somebody's, you know, unjustly, you know, doing something against us. And so we get angry. And that's just our nature. But I think for us, we want fairness, you know. But the thing about God is he allows us to have complete choice. You know, I think what we do with anger is totally up to us. We have that anger, the capacity to get angry, but we have the capacity not to sin or to sin. You know, the Bible talks about in your anger, do not sin. You know, let's look over to Genesis 4. We're going to read an instant here. Genesis chapter 4. Starting in verse 3 to 8. Genesis 4, 3 to 8. Noah. Come on, Noah.
Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him.
Thank you. You know, Cain was, he was angry. He was angry because God rejected his offering. He was angry, which is, you know, I think that's a human emotion. But you know what he did with that emotion? You know, God did not stop that. He allowed that, you know, Cain to take on his anger and eventually kill his brother. You know, I think we in the same way, we have to be very careful in our anger. It says it's crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. You know, anger is something that we're gonna be fighting for the rest of our life, how to control this thing. But I think what we need to do is, you know, in James chapter 1, it says, "Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Man's anger does not bring the righteous life that God desires." You know, it says man's anger does not bring the righteous life that God desires. You know, he knows our anger will lead us to destructive and sinful behavior. And so that's why God's like, you know, your anger is not going to lead to a righteous life. And so the question for us is, how do we control our anger so that it will not lead us into sin? How do we control that? What are some things we need to do so that we don't get to that point where we're in sin? And the book of Proverbs has a few things. We're going to look just at a few things. And like I said, you know, this thing, there's so many things to it. I want you to go back home and really study it out. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1.
A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
A harsh word stirs up anger. You know, Sunday session always tells this story. And I love this story. He says at camp, one of the camp counselors took a bunch of little kids and took them up to the hill and brought some very, very light feather. Took them up in the hill, made them sit down, and then she threw the the feather in the air, and it, you know, the wind blew it and it went everywhere. And so she's like, you know, this is what happens when you're not careful with your words. Your words, you throw it up and it's gone, and you can't chase it. It's, you know, the wind takes it. You may get a few back, but a lot of them are lost. And I think for us, it's our harsh word will stir up anger. You know, so be careful in the things that you say and how you say it. You know, I think sometimes we think, well, I'm just saying this, but really your tone of voice takes it to a different whole level. You know, and I know that's who I am. You know, so I need to be careful in what I say and how I say it and my tone of voice. So for us, a harsh word will stir up anger. You know, it's kind of like when you're stirring cake or cupcake, or, you know, you're stirring and it just gets angrier. It gets all mushy and you can't figure out what's what anymore. You know, I think for us, be careful in the words we talk, you know, we say. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Tommy.
Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered.
Okay. It says do not associate. You know, it's not even like being friends with that. You know, do not even associate yourself with that. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I was a pretty mischievous kid. Me and my brother, we lived by a train track, and what we wanted to do in our free time was we wanted to go and derail a train. That's our goal, you know. So we would climb up to the train track. We would pile the train track with rocks, and we'll all go run behind the bushes and, you know, sit there and see what happens when the train comes. Well, the train would come, and, you know, the train has this thing in front, and it just knocks the rocks all over the place, and we're like, oh, man, we need to get bigger stuff, you know? And so, but there's this one kid that, and we knew the train weren't going to derail. I don't know why. We, you know, there's no way we could do it. It's a huge train. We got a bunch of rocks, but it would hit it. And so, this one kid, he always wants to tag along. He gets there, he piles, he's a bigger guy, so you get the big rocks. And he gets the big rock, and he puts it on the track, and the train comes and hits the rocks, and we're all like, oh, yeah, you know, nothing happens. But he was like, that's not good enough. We need to get bigger stuff. So he got like tree trunks and, you know, just, you know, pile it on. And, but this kid, we're like, we're not inviting you anymore because you're going overboard. But he was obsessed with trying to do this. He was, you know, and every time the train hit it, he gets angrier and angrier because it wasn't successful. And so, but you know, the thing I remember thinking about, what is up with this? And it's because I think, you know, he got angry because really, I mean, his dad was an alcoholic. His dad drank a lot and yelled a lot at him. And the home was just a very angry place for him. And I think for him, he learned growing up just hearing all those stuff from his dad. You know, hearing those things from his dad, and his home was just not a place. You know, he would come home from school. He wouldn't even go home. He'd just, like, go to his friend's house and come back home later, you know, because he didn't want to deal with that. And so for him, anger was always around at home from his dad and his mom and dad. And I think for us, it's like when we hang around people who are like that, we become angry ourselves. You know, we hear from work, and people are like, you know, they're gossiping or they're talking about this and talking about that. And pretty soon we're kind of all riled up, you know, like, yeah, you're right, that she is like that, you know, and he is like that. And I think for us is to not associate ourselves with those type of people. You know, and if you are angry, you need to repent. You know, because people hear you. Kids hear you. You know, I think for kids, they pick up on stuff. You know, I think when we talk to kids, we shouldn't look down on kids and talk to them. I think we need to stoop down and get to their eye level so that they can see us being firm, but yet loving. I think my kids get insecure when I'm talking now. They say, stop this and stop that and do this and do that. They're like, you know. But I think when I'm at their face level, I'm talking to them, I'm like, this is what I need you to do. They feel like I'm firm, but at the same time, I'm loving. And I think for us, it's to not be parents who are angry. having angry outbursts. When they grow up, when they, you know, home should be a place where it's a haven. They come home like, this is where I need to be. You know, I've been in the world all day long. I need to get home and be with mom and dad so that I can get some refreshing time. Not a place where it's just anger, angry words. You know, I think for us, it's to be careful and do not associate with people who are angry. You know, Proverbs 29. I like this one. Proverbs 29, verse 11. And?
A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control.
Just a fool gives full vent to his anger. You know, I think sometimes we all we want to do is just vent. You know, I'm so angry, I just want to vent. They even have in the AJC the venting section. You know, people type in and vent about certain things, and you know, they're like, well, I just want to get this off my chest, you know, and I just want to throw it out there. But really, I mean, a lot of that is just all this bent up frustration and anger inside of you. It says you're a fool if all you want to do is vent about your anger. I think for us, it's okay to vent. But that's not it. We gotta get help beyond venting. We gotta get help. People in the world has no outlet for help. You know, they just blow up in the things that goes on in their life. You know, we are in the kingdom where we can get help. We have the scriptures to help us. We have each other to help us. And I think for us, it's getting beyond just venting. But to really, you know, get help. You know, I think about my marriage and I'm like, I don't know how people in the world do it without God. You know, I don't know how marriages in the world can be anything great because I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. My wife has the Holy Spirit inside of her, and we're still like, you know, angry, you know, trying to figure that out. But yeah, I can't imagine the world without the Holy Spirit. I'm like, that's just a losing battle. Forget it. You know, I know that if I was married in the world, it'd be a mess. It'd be a completely mess. And I think for us, it's to not just vent about our anger, but to really get help. To really get deeper in the scriptures. To really study it out. What is this? Find somebody who can help you. You know, it's funny when Joe asked me to do anger. I'm thinking, Joe, am I an angry person that you want me to do this? You know, what do you see that I'm angry? You know, but you know, it's been so good for me to see this part about me. And I'll tell you guys more about me in a little bit. But you know, I think for us it's to not just vent. Remember that. But to really get help, to really go after it, to change those things that we need to change. Proverbs 29 and verse 22. Okay. If a man hinders his servant from youth, he will bring grief in the end. Wait, was that the right one? No. Oh, 22. Sorry.
An angry man stirs up dissension,
and a hot temper one
commits many sins.
It says the angry man stirs up dissension. You know, causes more trouble. You know, and it says, and a hot temper commits many sins. You know, how many times we hear on the news something bad happens because somebody got angry? You know, we hear so many shootings at work and shootings at school and something happened, road rage. And, you know, people just giving in to their anger. You know, hot temper commits many sins. You know, for us, it's to be in control of those things and not get to that point where we're acting on our anger. Lastly, look at Proverbs 30:33. Verse 33.
And? For as churning the milk produces butter, and as twisting Piercing the nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife.
Mm-hmm. I love this thing. You know, it's kind of like you turn the butter, or turn the milk, it produces butter. As the twisting of the nose reduces blood. I think people are like, you know, having maybe a nose ring. It's like you keep turning, it's like, it's going to bleed. And the same thing, it's the stirring up anger produces strife. And I'm like, you know, what is strife? So I looked it up. And strife says discord. And so I'm like, what's discord? I looked it up. And it says the lack of harmony. You know, I think we've seen so many families, you know, been scarred with strife in their, you know, because of anger. There's no peace at home. There's no peace at home because of anger. And I think, you know, more importantly, there's no peace in your heart. I think that's what the ultimate end is. You know, for us to really look at anger, you know, and not stirring it, but to really try, how can I stop being so angry and acting on my anger? So that it will not produce discord and strife and the lack of harmony at home and wherever I'm at. You know, I asked my wife, you know, the other day, I was like, honey, do you think I'm an angry person? She's like, no, I think you're passive aggressive. I'm like, oh, okay. What's that mean? You know, the thing to me is passive aggressive is not wanting to be vulnerable about what's really going on inside. That's me. I don't blow up, but I internalize it, you know, and I just stuff it, and I keep bringing it on more and more. In 1 Corinthians, let's look there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 4 and 5. Okay.
Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong.
Okay, thanks. You know, that's me, keeping the record of wrong. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. I think sometimes when we keep records of wrong, we become very angry because it keeps piling on. And that to me, bitter, you know, I think bitterness is unresolved anger over time. You know, we never resolve anger. And so it gets built up and we become bitter. You know, I think for us, it's to learn how to forgive and learn to talk about those things in a positive way. You know, let me tell you a story about this lady. She was, her name is Diane, and she's a single mom, and she has one daughter. And one night, she got a phone call from the police saying that her daughter was killed in a car accident. And she was hit by a drunk driver. And she was devastated. You know, her only daughter, she was a senior in high school. And she was out, you know, from her friend's house and got killed by this drunk driver. And she, you know, after all the shock and the funeral and just all that stuff, she was in a daze, you know. She feeling like, man, my world is turned upside down. And the thing too is, she was one, angry at the drunk driver. She was angry that this person got drunk and got behind the car and hit her baby and died. She was angry at the judicial system for letting this guy go. This is his third time, and they let him off, you know. And so this is his third time. She was angry at the judicial system. She was angry at her ex-husband who got her this little car. That she really had no chance. You know, there was a lot of anger and all that stuff. You know, but ultimately, she was really angry at God. She's like, God, why did you let this happen? You know, why, of all the people, my little daughter, she was angry at God. You know, she said, you know, God, if you're all-knowing, all-powerful, how could you let this happen? She was really angry at God. You know, the two things that I think about sometimes we break it all down. Sometimes we're angry at God. You know, the things that goes on in our life, we're angry at God. The two things that I think that how God can eliminate our anger, one, is he can wipe out people who are going to do sinful acts. You know, he's going to take out the people who are, you know, do sinful acts. But the problem with that is that we all have sin. So there will be nobody left. You know, so God can't do that. He can't wipe everybody off the face of the earth who's sinned. Number two is he can step in and miraculously avert all the bad things, all the bad consequences. And you know, but the thing to that is then we'll just be robots. We wouldn't know anything. We would just do all the good things and there would be no bad things. We would just be robots. And I think the thing about that, God loves free choice. He gives us free choice. You know, it's kind of like your husband or your wife. You don't want to marry a robot and program the robot and says, you know, I love you at 7 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't mean much. It means so much more because it's their free choice. It's their free will that they say, I love you. And so for us, God is the same way. He gives us free choice. With the good, there's also the bad. And sometimes for us, we get angry at God, you know, I feel like you're treating me unfairly. You know, I think about my daughter. We have an 8-year-old. She turned 8 today. And then we have a 4-year-old. My first daughter, I was like, Daddy, why do I have to take care of her? Why do I have to clean up all her mess? Why do I have to do this and do that? She's like, and then the younger one's like, Daddy, why do I have to listen to her? And why do I have to, like, you know, it's never fair, you know? I tell her, honey, life is not fair. And so you got to accept that. But I think a lot of times we're like that. We don't express it like that, but we, in our heart, it's like that. You know, I think we look at our life and it's like, it's not what it thought it should be. You know, whether it's finances, whether it's health, whether it's family. Oh, God, I didn't want it to be like this. You know, or the church is not using me the way I think it should. You know, it's like, wow. I've heard people say that. The church is not using me the way I think I have so much talent. The church is not using me. So I'm going to go find another church that will use me and my talent. And I was like, whoa, what is that? I'm just happy to just open the doors of the kingdom, you know? That's all I want to do. I don't care much. But I think for us, it's we're like, oh, God is treating me unfairly. I have all this stuff and God is not using me. You know, or sometimes, you know, God, you know, I did it your way. I married the Christian. I did this. I did, but it's not working out the way I thought it would be. You know, so we get angry at God. Our life is angry at God. You know, I think for us, it's to take it to God. He cares about you. You know, I don't think he's surprised by your anger. I don't think he's like, whoa, I didn't know you were angry. He knows that you're angry. And then ultimately, like Job and not Cain, we need to accept his will for you. You know, we need to accept his will. Whatever our lot in life is, we need to accept that. You know, our sight is distorted when we're angry at God. You know, we have limited perspective. We don't live outside of time. You know, kind of like what Richard talks about God, and he lives outside of time. All we see is, you know, the further we can see is a couple months, what's going to happen. And we don't even know if they're going to happen. But God sees completely our whole life. And so for us to be angry at God, we have a limited perspective. So we need to trust him. You know, we'll finish here in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. I'll read it. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, 2 to 4. It says, consider pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We'll stop there. It says, you know, consider pure joy. To finish your work, to finish its work, to persevere. You know, I think for us is to consider a pure joy when we're going through hard times, when we're angry at God, when we're angry about other things in our life that it's not happening. You know, I think there's a campaign back in the 80s and the early 90s, Just Say No. I don't know if you guys remember that. Just Say No to Drug, you know, to that big campaign. And it worked for a little while, but then it went away. And I'm thinking, what happened? What happened to Just Say No? The problem with the Just Say No campaign was that there was no Just Say Yes. You know? There was Just Say No, but there's nothing else to say yes to. And so people went back to drugs. People went back to being the way they were. And I think for us, is we got to fill our anger with something. Just say no to being anger. It may work for a while, but eventually it's not going to work. So we need to say yes to something. So I'm thinking, you know, studying, I'm like, wow, what do I need to say yes to when I'm angry? And the thing that I come, you know, all boils down to, I need to say yes to compassion, to be compassionate. You know, I think I get angry at little things. You know, I get angry when people are late. I'm like Richard, you know, like, I mean, oh, they're late, you know. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you're, you know, kind of like what Gary thought. They're either, you know, Jamaican or Germans. You know, they're either, you know, when I get there, I get there. Or, you know, I have to be there at a certain time. If I don't get there, the whole world is crumbling, you know. And I think for us is I need to have that compassion for people who are late. Little things. People cut me. I don't know what's happened. I don't know if they got stuck. I don't know. But all I care about is they're using up my time, you know. People cut me off in traffic. Be more compassionate. Maybe they're in a rush. Maybe they're they're being late. Maybe they gotta go to the hospital. I don't know. But then being compassionate. Fill your hearts with compassion for those things, for those times that you're angry. And I think for us, don't just say no to anger. Anger is a very human, you know, part of God's nature, divine nature that is in us because we are created in His image. But at the same time, He gives us free will to choose what we're going to do with that anger. And I think for us, it's to not just say no, but say yes to compassion, to really fill our hearts. I think every time, can you imagine if every time you got angry, you fill it up with compassion, how much more a compassionate person you would be? You know, every time you feel angry, I feel angry 100 times a day, you know? Well, 100 times compassionate? Wow. I'd be a more compassionate person. By the end of the week, by the end of the month, by the end of the year, wow, how far along will I be a compassionate person? I think for us, it's to challenge ourselves to be a compassionate person instead of angry. So every time you get angry, be compassionate. You know, it's funny, I traded my, you know, our car died yesterday, and traded in this battery, and the guy, you know, he rung me up wrong. He you know, and I was like, I didn't realize. I took it home, and I looked at it. I was like, oh, no, this is not right. So today I called him back and said, hey, you know, I think last night I returned a battery, and it was wrong. I still have the receipt. Can I come by? And he was just really, you know, rude. He was like, no, that's not the case, and goodbye, you know. I was like, okay, you know, and my heart was like, you know, okay, you know, but I was like, okay, I'm doing anger tonight. I need to, like, you know, diffuse my anger. So I was like, okay, God, I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to have compassion on this guy. Maybe he's having a bad day. I don't know. Maybe he's just punching the wrong thing. And just being able to be compassionate to people and not letting little things control our anger. You know, and I think for us, it's to really, I think, like I said, go back to 9, really study out anger. You know, that's one of the things I know it's in the forefront of my mind that I get easily angered, passive aggressive. And I think for us is to get a deep conviction. You know, like I said, this is the Word of God that will save your soul. This is the Word of God that will save your soul. And it's funny because, you know, when we were in Cambodia, you know, I took out the Bible from my book bag, and they're all like, I was like, what? They're like, you have the whole Bible. I was like, yeah. But what happened, brothers and sisters in Cambodia, is a lot. You know, what they do is they would tear pages from their Bible, and they would hand it out. So you get, like, Mark and Psalms and Proverbs, you know. You don't ever get the whole thing. And they would read it, and they would exchange it. As they go on, they don't even get the whole Bible together. That's how intense they are. How much they love the scriptures. I took out the Bible and they're all like, what are you doing? You know, you need to put that back because, you know, I'm part of Cambodia, but it's illegal. And so for them, it's like, that's how much they crave God's word. And I think, I'm like, man, in America, we have Bibles galore. Mm-hmm. We go to the stores, Books a Million, it's like, hello. Oh, yeah. You know, but we're not taking advantage of it. The people out there, they're thirsting for the Word of God. They my wife and some of us study in candlelight. They are like in the candle, studying the scriptures. You know, so that's how people thirst for the Word of God. We have it plenty. We can read it anywhere we want to. We can read it at McDonald's. We can read, you know, wherever we want to. We can take this out, and it's not illegal. And I think for us to take full advantage of it, to use the scripture like it is the Word of God. I think for us, if anything tonight, I mean, if you don't get anything, get this, the Word of God that will save your soul. Get excited about it. Use it. Fall in love with it. And I think it will change your life. So that's it tonight. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for participating. I want us to just be as a family where we love the Word of God. We love being together. We love learning. Love changing the things that are not like Jesus. And to God be the glory. All right, let's pray. Father, you are so amazing, Father. God, you are not like us at all. God, I'm so grateful that you're not like us. I'm so thankful that you know what goes on in our lives. God, I'm so thankful that you know the number of hairs on our head. God, surely you know what goes on in our lives, the things that we go through. And Father, I pray so much that you will fill us up with compassion every time we get angry. God, help us to be more like you. Father, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you so much for the Bible that we get to read it every day. God, help us to take full advantage of it. Help us to love it. Help us to eat it up. Help us to cherish it. God, thank you so much for that. God, we love you. Pray that everybody will get home safe tonight. God, the things that we talked about tonight, that it will not fall on deaf ears. But God, to really move our hearts to be more like you. To change our lives to be more like you. God, for us to go back and to really dig deeper in the Word, in your Word, about anger, about the things that you need us to change. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.